This is a very interesting story. So please listen to it because it's so interesting. Good story. Shh. Long time ago was a big Talmud Chachem. Not only that, he was the Rav of his town. And the name of the town was Chensikov. He was the Rav of Chensikov. And to be a Rav of Chensikov was a great honor and a wonderful thing, and of course a big responsibility that he has to take care of so many important things. But there was a very, very sad thing in the life of the Rav and his wife. They did not have children. And of course, like any chasen and kala, like any married couple, they would love to have children. What did the Rav do? He went to shul, he davened, he said tillim, he gave tzedakah, he did whatever has to be done to try to get Hashem's bracha to have babies. But they were married 1 year and 2 years and 5 years and 10 years and 15 years and 18 years already, and they still did not have a baby, but they did not give up. Of course, you know that Avram Avinu and Sarah were married for many, many years until they were very old. They didn't have a baby until they were so old that most people never get a baby at that age. And that's when they got Hashem's bracha. So they didn't give up. Hashem could do anything. But still, to be married 18 years and not have a baby is a very, very painful and difficult thing. Finally, the Rav of Chensikov went to his Rebbe, who was the Koznitzer Magid. He went to his Rebbe, the Koznitzer Magid, the Magid of Koznitz, who was a great, great tzaddik. And he hoped that his Rebbe will give him a bracha to have a baby. But he had a surprise. He went into his Rebbe, and he told the Rebbe the problem. Of course, he didn't come for 18 years. For whatever reason, he didn't want to bother his Rebbe with it, or whatever the reason might have been, that he did not come to his Rebbe for all this time. But after 18 years, he couldn't take it anymore. He went to his Rebbe, and he told the Rebbe of the problem, and that he would like to have a bracha, that he and his wife should have a baby. His Rebbe looked down. He put his hand on his forehead, closed his eyes, and the Rav of Chensikov thought, "Oh, my Rebbe, hopefully he's thinking about Hashem and he's close to Hashem, and hopefully he'll say a bracha. He looks so halik right now. Hopefully his neshama is going up to Hashem so close that he'll be able to give me a bracha to have a baby." All of a sudden, as the Rebbe said, "The gates of the heaven of the Himmel are closed." He said, "The gates of that bracha are closed to you. For you, they cannot open. The gates of the bracha to have a baby are closed to you. Or at least, I cannot open them. I don't have the key to open the gate to go to get a bracha for you. They're closed, and I cannot open it." And of course, the heart of the Rav of Chensikov just dropped. Here he goes to such a halakha tzaddik, the Koznitzer Magid, and he says he can't open the gate above for the bracha to have a child. It's closed, it's locked to him, he can't do it. What can he do? But all of a sudden, his Rav said a very surprising thing. A few surprising things are going to happen here. He says, "But there is someone else that could open the gate for you for the bracha. In fact, there's only one person that could do it. A tzaddik that you could go to that would have the key to open that gate. Or could get the key. You know, actually, there's certain keys that only Hashem has. But of course, the tzaddik's bracha would be able to maybe get a hold of that key to open it up. Hashem has the keys. Certain keys He gives the people, and certain keys He has, but maybe a tzaddik would be able to get the key for a while and open up those gates. And the Rav of Chensikov thinks to himself, who could be such a halakhic tzaddik that my Rebbe would send me to? Who could be such a halakhic tzaddik? More than the Kozen Shemagit, that he would have the koyach to get such a bracha. And now came such a big surprise. His Rebbe went on and said, the only one that could do it for you is Schwarze Wolf, the black wolf. A man named Schwarze Wolf, the black wolf. And all of a sudden, the Rav of Chensikov thinks to himself, what? Am I hearing right? I know who that is, Schwarze Wolf. Schwarze Wolf is a person that lives near the Rav of Chensikov. He lives in the forest, somewhere in the forest. And he is the meanest, ugliest, most horrible person in the whole world. He is the scariest, meanest, with the most, the biggest temper. And he's so mean and upset all the time. And so angry all the time. And nobody can stand him. And he can't stand anybody else. And everybody doesn't like him. And he lives out in the forest somewhere near Chensikov. And this is the Schwarze Wolf that the Rav knows about. His name is Schwarze Wolf, the black wolf. And just like a wolf, he's so scary. And like an animal, he's so mean. Like a wolf, like a scary wolf. Maybe the Kozen Shemagat means somebody else. And the Kozen Shemagat says, the Schwarze Wolf that lives near you in the forest, he is the only one that would be able to give you such a bracha, and he would have the koyach to open the gate with his bracha. And of course, the Rav of Chensikov is wondering, how could such a person be that person? And the Kozen Shemagit continued, and he says, Schwarze Wolf is the leader of the 36 hidden tzaddikim. As we know, in every time, in every generation, there are 36 tzaddikim that are hidden, that nobody knows, nobody could guess and figure out that this person's a tzaddik. They could be looking like a regular person. They could go in such a way that a person might think they're not even a yid. And they're really a tzaddik, a hidden tzaddik. They could go in all kinds of ways that a person should never think that they're a tzaddik. They're like regular people. Or like even people you might think is the opposite of a tzaddik. It might be some kind of a beggar person that you think this person is some kind of a beggar that is a very, you know, poor kind of a person. It could be a tzaddik. He's just pretending to hide behind that disguise. And here all of a sudden, the Rav of Kozny, of the Chensiker Rav found out that this Schwarze Wolf is the leader of the hidden tzaddikim. And the Kozny Shemagit continued, he says, go to him, he'll help you. Kinalach, the Rav of Chensikov left. He knows this is what he has to do, but he was afraid. Even knowing that Schwarze Wolf was a tzaddik, he was afraid because Schwarze Wolf was such a mean person, at least on the outside. he went back to his town of Chenstakov, and he asked people, where exactly does Schwarze Wolf live? Schwarze Wolf? You're going to Schwarze Wolf? Oi, don't take a chance. He doesn't let anybody near his house. And to go in the forest is dangerous, but to go near his house, he never lets anybody nearby. In fact, not so many people know exactly where it is because the screaming is so loud when you get nearby, they run away. If he sees anybody even coming, he starts screaming, get away from here! Go away! Don't come to my house! I don't want anybody here! But one person said, I think it's that way, and you go over there to the big tree, and you turn right, and you cross over the river, and on the other side where all those big trees are over there, I think that's where he lives. And the Rav was afraid to go. What's going to happen if Schwarze Wolf starts screaming at him? Even though he knows he wants to go to the house, but he's afraid, maybe he's just going to get scared and be in the forest, and maybe Schwarze Wolf won't even let him come there. I mean, what's going to happen? And the Rav all of a sudden thought of a plan that he would be able to go to the house of Schwarze Wolf. He's going to make a kind of a trick. He is going to go on Erev Shabbos, very close to Shabbos, and he'll pretend that he's lost in the forest. And he will go to the house, and he'll say that he's lost in the forest, it's almost Shabbos, and he has no way to get home in time for Shabbos. Could he please spend Shabbos there? And even though he'll be away from his wife for Shabbos, and she'll understand it's for such a special thing, but at least that way, he'll get to see Schwarze Wolf. I mean, how can they refuse, as mean as they are, I mean, how could they refuse a Jew to be stuck in the forest for Shabbos? That's what he's going to try. Okay? You understand? So very close to Shabbos, the Rav of Chenstakov went out into the forest. Way, way out in the forest where the big trees are on the other side of the river. And he saw this broken down house in the trees. And he goes closer. He was afraid. Because he's heard Schwarze Wolf yell before. I mean, sometimes he comes into the town and he screams at people. The Rav never went out in the forest to his house, but he's heard Schwarze Wolf scream before, and it's a scary thing to hear. And he was glad he didn't hear Schwarze Wolf scream. And he goes all the way up to the house. And as he gets close to the house, all of a sudden, he hears a woman's voice.
Who's there? Who has the chutzpah to come to our house? Get away from our house! Don't you know this is Schwarze Wolf's house? Get away! Nobody comes here! Go away from our house!
Who is that? The Rav of Chenstakov is wondering. It must be Schwarze Wolf's wife! Oi, she's also mean. She's also scary. Well, he went up to the door and he knocked on the door. Please, it's a Jew. I'm stuck for Shabbos. I'm stuck in the forest. I'm lost. And it's almost Shabbos. And I don't know where to go. I'm lost. Please, could I come here for Shabbos? Could I spend Shabbos here? And all of a sudden the door opens. And he saw the meanest, ugliest, most horrible looking woman he ever saw in his life, like a witch or something. Oh, she was so terrible looking. This must be the wife of Schwarze Wolf.
Get away from here! Go away! This is the house of Schwarze Wolf. If my husband catches you here, he'll take you with his hands and he'll tear you into 52 pieces. He'll tear you apart. My husband doesn't want anybody here, and especially not you. And for Shabbos? You want to spend Shabbos with us? Oh, no.
The Rav was so afraid. What can I do? I'm lost.
Okay, the best thing that you should do is this. Go to the stable where the donkeys and the sheep and the goats and the cows and the horses are and the chickens. Over there, you could spend Shabbos in the stable, in the barn, where the animals are. And you better not stick your nose out of the stable, because if my husband catches you here, if he even finds out somebody's here, he will get so upset. Oh, get into the stable now. And the Rav goes into the stable. I forgot to tell you something. Behind the woman were kids. Some big kids and some little kids. And they were the meanest, ugliest, most scary, yucky, mean-looking kids. Oh, boy, were they scary. And the face of each kid was, oh, my, it's scary. And horrible-looking, mean. Oh, what a family is this. Oh, scary stuff. The Rav went to the stable. He says, what am I going to do now? All of a sudden, he peeked out from between the cracks, and all of a sudden he got scared. Schwarze Wolf is coming home from wherever he was, and he goes into his house, and all of a sudden he hears the woman's voice, Schwarze Wolf, I wasn't going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you. Schwarze Wolf says, what are you going to tell me that you are not going to tell me? Well, somebody came today to our house. What? Somebody came today to our house? Yes, a man, he said he's lost in the forest. And he wants to spend Shabbos in our house. What? A man said he wants to spend Shabbos in our house? Oh, boy. Yeah, he's lucky I didn't get my hands on him. I'd rip him up into 52 pieces. I hope you got rid of him. Well, I got rid of him, but I don't think he went too far. That's what I wasn't going to tell you. What do you mean? You weren't going to tell me. So you're telling me. What do you mean he didn't get too far? I hope he got far away from our house. Well, I told him to go to the stable, to stay in the stable in the barn with the animals. But a man is in our stable with the animals? A man is close to our animals, our goats and our sheep and our cows? Oh, I'm upset. I don't want nobody in my stable. I'm going to go and get him. And all of a sudden, Schwarz the Wolf comes out of the house. And now he's coming towards the stable. And the Rav of Jensikov is so scared. Oh, no, it's Schwarze Wolf. He's coming to me in the stable. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, he's got so scared. Now, even though he knows this must be a tzaddik, he couldn't help it. He was so scary. And all of a sudden, the door to the stable opens, and Schwarze Wolf comes in. And the Rav wanted to hide, but he says, what good is it going to? He's going to get more upset and more angry. If he finds me, he's going to catch me anyway. And he just stood there, frozen. And Schwarze Wolf looks at the man, at the Rav of Jensikov. He says, you must stay for the whole Shabbos in this stable. If I catch you sticking your nose out from the stable. If you think you're going to go out from the stable during the Shabbos, I'm going to get you with my hands and tear you up into pieces. Do you understand? Yeah, I understand. And he slammed the door and he went into his house. And the Rav of Jensikov sits down. And all of a sudden he thought to himself, wait a minute. Something came into my mind, he says. I know that this is not only a tzaddik. This is the leader of the Lamed Vav 36 Halakha Tzaddik.
And a tzaddik is so halik. But, I'm coming here because my Rebbe, the Kozhin Shemagid, told me to come here. Who's a halik at tzaddik? This is not a mistake. But still, everything I see here is so ugly and so mean and so not nice. How does this make sense? Like today we had the story of the puzzle. This is a puzzle. It doesn't fit. What's going on? How do these pieces fit together? All of a sudden, it came into the Rav's mind a very interesting thing. He says, a tzaddik is a person that's not for himself. A tzaddik is for others. A tzaddik is not looking always what's good for him. He's looking to do what Hashem wants, and he's looking to help others. And all of a sudden the Rav thought, it's kind of like a mirror. Is a mirror a thing for itself, or a mirror shows on others? You know, another person looks into the mirror. The main thing is not to look at the mirror. You see yourself. A mirror is not for itself. It shows what's looking into the mirror. So the Rav thinks, to look upon a tzaddik, a person is not looking at the tzaddik, they're really looking at themselves. A person is really looking at themselves. When they see a tzaddik, it's like looking into a mirror and they're looking back at themselves. What they see in the tzaddik is what they have in themselves. And of course, we're not talking just your body, but your neshama. When you look on a tzaddik, you can see back into your own neshama. And the Rav is thinking, if I am seeing something that's not nice and something that's not good, it could very well be that I'm seeing in myself, there's something going on in myself that's not nice and not good. And even though it's not such a scary and terrible thing, just like I'm seeing Schwarze Wolf is so mean and so horrible. But you know, some mirrors don't only show back the way a thing it is, they can make... Some mirrors don't only show back exactly what the thing is. It could make it look very much bigger. Some mirrors could make a thing look very much bigger than it really is. Like a magnifying glass. You show a little thing into the mirror and it shows it back to you gigantic. That's also a kind of a mirror. It blows it up. And the Rav is thinking to himself, maybe in my neshama, maybe deep down inside of myself, there are things that I still did not do tshuva for, and they're still not put right. And I'm looking at myself, and I'm seeing how not right and how not good certain things are still in myself. And they might be very small things, but the way they are on a high level is a very big thing. And of course, by Hashem, a very small thing could be even a very big thing. And as we know, at tzaddik, Hashem judges very, very strictly, like a hair. The smallest thing could be a big deal by Hashem. And so the Rav says, it could be that I'm looking at myself and I have to do tshuva for what is still not right on myself. And the Rav sat down and he started to cry. And he started to look into his own neshama, his own soul. He did a big cheshbon nefesh, which means he thought over every kind of thing that he does, and every way he does it, and every way he speaks, and how he treats people, and how, if there's anything that he could do that could be better, or more of good things, or anything that's not good that he could do better, that he should do tshuva for, he shouldn't do it anymore. And the Rav cried, and he cried. And all of a sudden, when he felt, this is after a few hours, that he had tried his best to look into himself to see what could he do to do tshuva. All of a sudden, he calmed down, he stopped crying, and he felt very calm, and he felt very close to Hashem. All of a sudden, Kiddalach, just as he's feeling this feeling, the door to the barn opens. The door to the stable opens. And somebody walked in, and all of a sudden, he was just so calm, he didn't even get scared. It must be Schwarze Wolf. And it was Schwarze Wolf. And Schwarze Wolf came right up to him. But the face of Schwarze Wolf was not an ugly, horrible face. It was a very kind, nice, Halakha face. And he was smiling. And Schwarze Wolf says, "Please come with me. Come into the house. Be with my family. Don't be here for Shabbos." The Rav of Chensikov got up and he went with Schwarze Wolf into the house. And he goes into the house and he sees Schwarze Wolf's wife and she's smiling. And she also looks very halik and very beautiful and full of chayn and edelkeit. And even the kids, their faces look beautiful. It looked like a beautiful Shabbos house. And he realized that he had to put certain things right in himself. And then Schwarze Wolf says, "I know why you came. You would like to have a bracha for a child. And I will give you the bracha. The gates are now open for you to receive the bracha. However, I'm going to ask one thing that you do. That you should name the baby Schwarze Wolf after me." Now, of course, the Rav was so surprised what's going on. The only thing he could say, but our minhag is that after a living person, we don't give a name. And you know, some people have the minhag that after a living person, they'll give the same name. But it was the minhag of the Rav that he would not give a child a name after somebody who's alive. And Schwarze Wolf didn't say anything. But the Rav said, "If that's what you'd like, I will do that." Ken Allah, the next day, Schwarze Wolf passed away. And after Shabbos, the Rav of Chensikov went home. And sure enough, about a year later, he and his wife were benched with a baby boy. And of course, they named him Schwarze Wolf. Now, the story is not over. After the war, the last terrible war that happened, called World War II, there was a Malava Malka in Eretz Israel, in a shul, and Yidden were together, and of course, they were making l'chaim, and they were having a suda of Malava Malka together, and they were telling mises, and somebody told this story that I just told you, and another person at the table said to everyone, "You should know, my name is Schwarze Wolf ben Chana, and I am an einikel from the Schwarze Wolf in the story that you just told." We say right before Shmoneh Esrei, we say, "Mashpil game ade aretz." Hashem brings down the proud ones until the earth. And so those big balgaivaniks, they make themselves big. Hashem brings them down. Umagbia shfalim. A person that's low, he lifts up ad maroim until the highest places. Okay, here's the story. Now remember, it's very yucky, but I'm going to tell you because of this point. All right? And maybe just don't tell your mother, your sister, because, you know, then they'll get upset that you told them. Especially while they're eating. Don't tell them while they're eating. Okay, there was another big Balgaiva, and his name was Hiram. And he was the king of a place called Soyer. Now, Hiram wanted to be the biggest and the best and the highest and make himself to be a god, and everybody should daven to him. And he should be the greatest even over all gods and all kings. So what did he do? He really knew in secret that Hashem was the greatest. He didn't want to admit it, but you know, he heard about the God of the Jewish people, Hashem. So he says to himself, "I'll find out what Hashem does. And then, I'm not going to tell anybody, of course, but I'm going to make myself to be even greater than Hashem, and I'll tell everybody that I'm greater than anybody, even Hashem. But in order to get an idea what great means, so I'll learn from Hashem and I'll copy it. But I wouldn't tell anybody that I know about it, and I'm not going to tell them about Hashem. They might find out that he's really the greatest God, but everybody would think, well, I'm the greatest God. So he read once, or he heard once from somebody, that Hashem has seven heavens, the seven himmels. Aha! Seven himmels! Not just one sky, but seven skies. And what does Hashem do there? Hashem is everywhere there. Hashem is everywhere in the seven himmels, right? Hashem fills the seven.